reality of the body of Christ as the reality in Jesus. And this phrase, the reality in Jesus, is from Ephesians 4:21. The reality in Jesus is the actual condition of the life of Jesus, as recorded in the four Gospels, duplicated in his many members as the corporate living of the perfected God-man. When Jesus was living on the earth, Paul used the phrase that the reality which is in Jesus. And what he meant by that was, as I said earlier, when Jesus was living on the earth, he wasn't just living some kind of morality that originated from his sinless soul, right? In his soul, Jesus was like Adam before the fall. But that's not what Jesus lived by. His mind, his will and emotions, and those emotions would be like love, compassion, sympathy, these sort of things. They weren't just human. They were God that had filled up these emotions being expressed as living. So what you saw was reality. God. The real love. The real compassion. That has what word should I use? It has a quality of divinity.
Amen.
It was divine.
Hallelujah.
It was eternal. It limitless.
Amen.
I lack words to even say what it is. It's just reality.
Hallelujah.
Right? It's God Himself. So now, as the members of His body, we're supposed to also have this same kind of living. Right? It should be a living that is the reality which was in Jesus. A living that has God as its source and its expression. John 14:6a, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the reality and the life." Ephesians 4:20-24, "But you did not so learn Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as the reality is in Jesus, that you put off as regards your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality." This phrase at the end of verse 21, it says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, as the reality is in Jesus." This is not talking about a mental kind of teaching. Like we read the Bible, we learn how Jesus lived, and then we try to imitate that. This word taught here is talking about like being formed. Like if you put your hand onto a gel foam mattress, that will learn teaching it the form of your hand. Or, like if you made a cake, you make the batter, you can pour it into like a bundt cake. It takes on the form of that mold, right? You could say that the mold taught the dough how to be conformed.
Amen.
This is what's being said here.
Amen.
So, to have this kind of living, Christ needs to be taught into our being. The very same life that he lived on the earth now needs to become our living.
Hallelujah.
And this is by the dispensing of the spirit of reality.
Amen.
You know, when we all got reborn, we got regenerated in our spirit. The spirit made our spirit alive. So the spirit of reality now is in our spirit. But it needs to get out into our emotions, which is transformation. This is to live the reality as is taught in him. Okay, Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Philippians 1:8. "For God is my witness how I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ." So here we see that Paul was had the same kind of human life on the earth that Jesus did. He lived according to the inward parts of Christ. This means that the inward parts of Christ had been worked into Paul to become his reality. I'm running out of time. Oh, and Jesus lived a life in which he did everything in God, with God, God was in his living, and he was one with God. This is the reality in Jesus. Point B, the only life that is a delight to God is the life that is a repetition of the life Christ lived on earth. We are being perfected by the Lord to be God-men, living the divine life by denying our natural life according to the model of Christ as the first God-man. In Matthew 11:29, the Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Matthew 17:5b, this is God the Father speaking, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have found my delight." 1 Peter 2:21, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model, so that you may follow in his steps. Again, saints, this is not an imitation. We're not imitating Christ. We're not imitating his living, but we're imitating him in the sense that he allowed God to be lived out in him.
Amen.
Right? He's our model. The model is a man that allowed God to live himself out in him. Ephesians 5:30, because we are members of his body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Point four, the reality of the body of Christ is the union and mingling of God and with man to live out a corporate God-man. So God doesn't want individual God-men living this kind of life. He wants a corporate God-man. Ephesians 4:4-6. One body and one spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4:23-24. And that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality. A. The reality of the body of Christ is the living of a God-man. The reality of the body of Christ is the living of a God-man life by a group of God-redeemed people together with the God-man Christ.
Amen.
Philippians 1:19-21. For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I will be put to shame, but with all boldness as always, even now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Point one. In his resurrection, the Lord Jesus produced many brothers who, with him as the eldest brother, became a great corporate God-man. This universal man is God at man, and man at God. Romans 8:29. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Ephesians 2:15, abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man. 2, after regenerating us, the life-giving Spirit dwells in us and is mingled with our spirit to live a God-man life with us. 1 Corinthians 15:45b, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 3, this kind of life issues in a universal man who is exactly the same as the Lord Jesus, a man living a God-man life by the divine life. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 3:1 through 2, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. Because of this, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been manifested what we will be. We know that if he is manifested, we will be like him, because we will see him even as he is. 1 John 4:17, in this has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of the judgment, because even as he is, so also are we in this world. Point B, the reality of the body of Christ is a living by the God-men who are united, joined, and constituted together with God by the mingling of humanity with divinity and divinity with humanity.
Amen.
Point C, the reality of the body of Christ is the corporate living by the perfected God-men who are not living by their life, but by the life of the processed God, whose attributes are expressed through their virtues. Then in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. Amen. That's my half. Rob's going to take over here.
Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, we love you. Lord, bring us into this reality. So Dan has been touching the definitions of the reality of the body of Christ. The reality of the body of Christ is the spirit of reality wrought into us. And the reality of the body of Christ is the duplication of the same life that was lived out in the Lord Jesus, which is the reality. It is being duplicated in the body of Christ. That's the reality of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the union and the mingling, right, of God with man to live out a corporate God-man. Okay. The fifth point is the reality of the body of Christ is a corporate living of the conformity to the death of Christ. A corporate living of the conformity to the death of Christ. And this is mainly from Philippians, right? 3:10, where Paul says to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Amen. It's good to get adjusted. So, this is no longer the Lord looking for individuals. There's been individuals in the past who have surely known something of the death of Christ. But this is not what the Lord wants. He wants his body, his corporate body, the reality of his body, be conformed to his death. And this conforming is like Dan touched, is like a mold. When we were baptized, we were put into the death of Christ. But when you're baptized, you're just like the raw dough. You get put into that mold, and it's just, you could flow out, you could flow, you know, kind of comfortable. But you know what? For it to be conformed, there's a process. And that's what the Lord's after. He's after us to be in this process of being conformed to the Lord's death. So the dough or the batter in the mold may be existing there quite comfortably, and then the heat gets turned up. Because who wants to eat raw batter? That doesn't meet the purpose. And at that point, the dough may say, it's getting hot in here. I'm not so sure I like this. But listen, the Lord will never gain the reality of the body unless we corporately pass through this process. Amen. Or brought into this process. And this is something very precious. You know, I was reminded in the Lord's life, even as in his early, right after his birth, he was presented with myrrh. And myrrh points to death. And at the end of his life, when he was buried by the noble, he was buried with myrrh. So his whole life encompasses a life of myrrh. And if you know a little bit about myrrh, I've never tasted it, but I heard it's bitter to your taste. But it's very fragrant as an aroma. So the Lord's life, you could see in his life, he lived this way. He lived the life of, even though he was a perfect man, he didn't live by that life. He lived by the divine life within him. He constantly put to death his perfect human life, that he could say, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. He lived out God. Amen. Through the denying of his human, perfect human life. And this is, in A, it says, the life of a Christ pursuing God-man is a life of pursuing to die with Christ through the experience of the cross. In Matthew, the Lord said, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So these verses are kind of new to me, that the Lord was presenting them the mold of his life. I am living a certain way. If you want to follow me, you need to be conformed to this life that I live. A life of denying the natural life and living by the divine life. So the cross in one must become, and the cross is not just something that we suffer. Yeah. Right? Many times the thought in a Christian concerning the cross is it's suffering. No, the cross is not suffering. The cross is termination. The cross is to end. That's its point. So to pursue this kind of life, to die with Christ, is to terminate us. And this cross must become our experience. The cross that enters into our heart is the cross that has become our subjective experience for us to live Christ. Not something we know about, but something that is very subjective to us. Today happens to be, they celebrate Good Friday, right? So I was driving on the road, and lo and behold, to my surprise, there's this man carrying a wooden cross. And I'm like, and he has a sign, Galatians 5:24. No, 6:14. But far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world's crucified to me and I to the world. This is to have the cross in an outward way. It's not a decoration. It's not a monument. It's a living experience that needs to spread into our inner parts and become very subjective to us. 2 under A says, a living under the cross touches the deepest parts of our being in every detail in our daily life. The Lord is absolute, and His cross is absolute. Whatever touches it is terminated. And the Lord wants this experience to go into the deepest parts of our being. And that's maybe where we have a lot of reserve. But the Lord wants to reach there. For Him to gain the reality of the body, our entire being has to be conformed to His death. He never sidestepped the cross in His life. But many times as believers, we like to sidestep it. But as long as we do that, the reality of the body of Christ cannot come forth. We all affect one another. Right? When Dirk's with his wife and he's ready to exchange words, if he lets the death of Christ, the cross, touch his inward being, we all gain from that. It's hidden and it's mysterious, but it further ushers us into the reality of the body of Christ, because he's allowing Christ to live out. Let me go on. B, it is by the power of Christ's resurrection that we are conformed to the death of Christ. This is not something we can just do in ourselves, through our strong will, through our determination. It will never work. It is by the power of His resurrection. In Philippians 3:10, and this resurrection in John 11:25 is a wonderful person, a living person, empowering us. And in Ephesians 1:19-20, we see this power operated in Christ in raising from the dead. This is the same power that raised Him is within us. Amen. Believe it.
Amen.
It's in every one of us. There is a power to enable us to live a life being conformed to His death. If we do this, practice this, there will be a sweet fragrance manifested through the body of Christ as a reality. C, the reality of the body of Christ is a living of being conformed to the death of Christ through the cross. Okay, 1, the cross, the death of Christ, is the centrality and universality of our way to live the Christian life in order to fulfill God's purpose. So the Lord gives us one way to fulfill His purpose. There's one person, Christ, and there's one way, the cross, to fulfill His economy. As Christ's continuation, we should live a crucified life every day. Paul said in Corinthians, daily I die. And this death worked in Him, but worked life in others. I think the whole thing that impressed me is this is a daily living. It is a daily matter that we would be conformed to the mold of His death. I think, you know, My kids were little. You know, we had this two-bedroom apartment. Over upstairs, two bedrooms. The kids are in one. My wife and me are in the back. And you know, we put the kids down, and we hear the footsteps. And there's my son, looking around the corner. Go get back in bed. Back in bed. Goes get back in bed. A few minutes later, you hear. Go get back in bed. Get back in bed. Goes back in bed. A few minutes later. And I thought, you know, that's the way we are with the mold. In the meetings, oh, Lord Jesus. We're enjoying Him. We're praying. We're fellowshipping, or we're serving. We experience the death of Christ. We go home, and it's like, I'm out of the mold. What's on the television? Oh, Lord Jesus. So, daily, right? Daily, this needs to be our life, of being conformed to the death of Christ. This will bring forth the reality of the body of Christ corporately. Okay, six, let's read six together. To be in the reality of the body of Christ is to live in the mingled spirit. Okay. So Romans 8:4, we're very familiar with, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then I'll read 1 Corinthians. We know what that is. 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are a three-part being. The lowest living you can have is when you live just in the flesh. And if you a step higher is if you thoughtful, you live kind of moral. This is a step higher, according to the soul. And then a step higher than that is to live according to your conscience. That's much higher. You're very sensitive to others, how you conduct yourself, help. You affect people when you're wrong. But there is a living that's higher than that. And that is the mingled spirit. This is where the reality of the body of Christ is. All that He is consummated as the Spirit. His person, His death, His resurrection, everything He has accomplished is compounded in the Spirit. And that Spirit is mingled with our human spirit. So for the reality of the body to be brought forth, we have to be those who are living by our mingled spirit. So the key is we need to exercise that part of our being. When we come to the meetings, we shouldn't come just to sit. We should really have a determination. Lord, I'm one spirit with You. Amen. Lord Jesus, the Lord's moving in you. You respond. He urges you in your spirit. You release that. Maybe through a prayer. Maybe calling a song. Maybe testifying something. But not just in the meetings. This has to be our daily life. That's why we gather together, to remind one another, right? If the Lord's to gain the reality of the body, we have to be a people who exercise this part of our being. Okay, A, God's unique purpose is to mingle Himself so that He becomes our life and our nature and our content, and we become his expression. You can read those verses in Ephesians 3, 16 through 21, how he makes his home in our heart. All that he is spreads into our inner parts. Eventually, the church is his fullness, his expression. One, in his economy, God mingles himself with us to become one entity with us. Right? We are joined to the Lord as one spirit. But this joining actually will include, and it includes every part of our being. It's not a small thing when, as believers, we exercise to contact him. That mingled spirit is spreading, even to give life to your mortal body. Two, we may be saved to the extent that we and God are completely mingled as one, having one life and one living. So we see this in the vine in John 15, right? The branches and the vine are one life, one living. One lives within the other one. The other lives because of the other one. Lord Jesus. And Galatians 2:20, right? The old I is crucified, and the life that is now in the flesh is Christ by faith. Okay, I'll go on to B. Watch time. The focus of God's economy, listen, is the mingled spirit. The divine spirit mingled with the human spirit. Whatever God intends to do or accomplish is related to this focus. So the verses there show that there is an unveiled mystery. But for that mystery in chapter 3 to come forth in other chapters, the key is the human spirit. There's no other way to bring forth God's eternal purpose through his economy of the body of Christ than the exercise of our mingled spirit. C. Let's read C together. So 1 John 5:11, right, has the life. We have the very life of God, right? And 2 Peter 1:4, we have the very divine nature of God. These are the mysteries of the universe. I really hope the Lord could unveil us freshly and have a deep impression of what is put into our being and the goal for all this. Okay, 1C1. The divine spirit and the human spirit are mingled as one with us so that we can live the life of a God-man, a life that is God yet man and man yet God. We are not common people. I know Bob, he sells insurances, right? But you know what? He's not the same as everyone. He is a God-man.
Amen.
And hopefully he would sell policies as a God-man. Amen. And Derek, you would dispense, well, even though you're doing it with the computer, as a God-man. And Gary, as a retiree, you're a God man.
Amen.
You need to shine out this God through your living in your neighborhood.
Amen.
You don't have to do so much. You have to live so much.
Amen.
That's the reality of the body.
Amen.
You're not by yourself there.
Amen.
2, God, man, the God-man living is the living of the two spirits, the spirit of God and the spirit of man, joined and mingled together as one. So D, we live in the reality of the body of Christ by walking according to our mingled spirit. So I'll finish there. What shall we do? Let's have some prayer, okay? Just pray with whoever's next to you for 40 seconds, okay? And then we'll have some sharing, okay? We can have some time for sharing, okay?